The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
What does the New Testament teach about apostasy or falling away? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for joining us. As you probably know, we're taking questions from listeners just like you. We'd love to see your questions, by the way. You can reach us through email, radio@faithalone.org. Now, I'd like to remind you before we go on that we have our National Bible Conference coming up. We do this once a year, and it's a time that I really enjoy personally, and I know many others do. You can find out more about our National Bible Conference by going to faithalone.org. Click on events. You can even register right there on the site. We look forward to seeing you there. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Let's see, what is on the menu for today in terms of questions? All right, here's one from Chloe. She says, is the apostasy about falling away back to animal sacrifices? I haven't yet been baptized, and some were telling me I had to keep the Mosaic dietary laws, which confused and upset me. Is the falling away going back to the Mosaic law?
And what verse is she thinking of?
There is no, she doesn't really cite a verse. I guess she's just citing the idea of the apostasy. But that's a whole question, right? In Thessalonians, isn't it? Where it's, yeah. We really don't know if that's an apostasy or if that's actually reference to the rapture. Some people think right. It's reference to the that's taking away. What is it?
Falling Second up. Thessalonians, yeah. Because it can refer to departure.
Departure,
to
yeah.
To fall away is to depart from something.
Yeah.
To depart from this life could be a reference to the rapture.
Yeah.
But I think Chloe may have in mind other passages that talk about animal sacrifices, dietary laws, etc. Colossians has stuff to do with that. Galatians has some teaching on that.
I mean, I guess Paul was worried that the Galatians were going back to a gospel where they thought they needed to get circumcised. And the book of Hebrews is all about don't go back to Judaism.
Right. And Colossians, don't taste, don't touch.
Yeah. And
you
that's
know,
some type
those
of
kinds
thing.
Of aesthetic and also some sort of Jewish legalism. There's a combination of things going
but
on in Colossians.
It seems like, though, she's talking about the apostasy. And I guess there's this idea that in the end, in the prophetically speaking, in the end, there's going to be an apostasy.
Right. Second Thess 2, I guess around verse 3, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the son of sin is revealed, the son of perdition.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that's what Chloe has in mind, but let's deal specifically with, I think, her question. She says she's not yet baptized,
right.
And she also says that people are telling her she needs to follow the Mosaic dietary laws.
Apparently, yeah. So who would say that? Maybe Seventh-day Adventists, maybe Messianic Jewish people, some of them might say that.
But now Chloe doesn't mention whether they're saying she has to do this to be sanctified or whether she needs to do this to remain justified. I think as a general answer, we can say, look, every believer should be baptized. We've talked about this before, Matthew 28, 18 through 20, other texts, because it is what God wants as part of our discipleship. But baptism is not a condition of everlasting life. The only condition is believing in him, John 3:16. We believe in him for what he promises, everlasting life. We'll never perish. And the Mosaic dietary laws are not enforced today. We know that from the book of Galatians, especially chapter 2, where Peter and Barnabas, two apostles, actually withdrew from the Gentile believers, evidently at the Lord's Supper meeting, because they were going back to kosher foods. And Paul rebuked them in the presence of everyone, saying, look, how can you Jews who were eating with Gentiles now separate from them? That's hypocrisy.
Right, and Paul said to the Colossians in chapter 2, verse 16, let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substances of Christ. Don't let anyone put you back under those type of regulations. He goes on to say, verse 20, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle. which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom. I mean, that's why people are attracted to them. It seems spiritual. It seems religious. Don't touch that. It seems like a godly thing to do, to have these to-do lists. But Paul says they have the appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but are of no value. Avoiding foods cannot get you into heaven.
And avoiding foods also is not going to lead to praise at the judgment seat of Christ.
Right, and he says here, it has no value against the indulgence of the flesh, so it doesn't even help you in terms of your sanctification.
Right, in fact, it hurts you because the whole implication of what's going on there in Colossians is if you become a legalist, you're no longer walking in the Spirit. You're now walking in the flesh. That's what Galatians is about.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're in Galatians 5, walking in the Spirit and walking in the flesh, some people think walking in the flesh is the person who's gone to the spiritual far country and is rebelling against God. No, in Galatians, to walk in the flesh is the person who is living in bondage to legalism. I think what Chloe's question illustrates is we need to understand some basic dispensational truths, that we no longer live under the law of Moses. We live under the commands in the New Testament, which is in various places in the New Testament called the law of liberty, or it's called the royal law, or it's called the law of Christ. So there are some of the commandments from the Old Testament repeated in the New Testament. For example, from the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, 9 of the 10 are repeated again in the New Testament, but not the command to keep the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
We're not under Sabbath laws. The Mosaic dietary laws, we're not under those any longer. In Acts chapter 9, remember Peter has that vision?
Yeah, and actually, can I say this? Yeah. I don't know what you think about this, but you said we're no longer under. But as Gentiles, we were never under the Mosaic law.
Well, when I say we, I mean the people of God. The Jews were under those commands. The people of God were under those commands.
But
Gentiles in the Old Testament weren't under it either.
I was just going to say, Gentile believers were not under the Mosaic law. And
you're
they're
right.
Still not under the Mosaic law. Unless Chloe is coming from a Jewish background, this really shouldn't be even a hard question for you. If you're Gentile, you're not under the Mosaic law at all, whether we're in the New Testament era or not. But in this, what is pleasing to God, even if you're a Jewish Christian, you're not under the law. You are free. Jesus died to free you from that law.
But what Chloe's question illustrates is the power of doctrine. Sound doctrine has a very positive effect on our Christian lives. We're transformed by the renewing of our minds, Romans 12:2. But unsound doctrine hurts us.
Oh, yeah.
This unsound doctrine she's hearing from evidently well-intentioned friends is not good. And, Chloe, my recommendation is get in a solid Bible-teaching church. And in that church, you will learn sound doctrine and you will grow in the faith. And, of course, number one, make sure, Chloe, you understand that we're born again, that we have everlasting life that can never be lost, by faith in Christ, apart from works, apart from dietary laws, apart from baptism, apart from anything. It's simply believing in the Lord Jesus Christ for the gift of God.
Okay, here's my question for you, Bob. What do you think about this? In Galatians 1 and 2, you have these guys who are trying to put people under the Mosaic law for salvation. And Paul is furious at them.
Right.
And he calls it another gospel, and he calls them cursed or anathema, and it seems like this is absolutely horrible. But in other places in the epistles, you have people who are specifically struggling with what foods to eat. They're very conscientious about foods being offered to idols, and they think that they're still under the law in some cases. And in those cases, Paul seems very merciful and long-suffering, and he's like, you have to treat them like the weaker brother. You know, you got to bear with them for a time. He's not furious. It's not a fellowship-breaking issue. It's now's the time to be kind of patient with these people. So I'm wondering, you know, someone in Chloe's situation, she has Messianic Jewish friends or Seventh-day Adventist friends or whoever. What is the attitude we should take to people like that?
Well, I think you raise a good point, and I would think the difference is teachers versus non-teachers. If you have a teacher who's teaching work salvation, like the Judaizers of Galatians, Well, those people are under God's curse, and we're to separate from them and keep away from them. Mm-hmm. However, if you have a non-teacher, someone who's the weaker brother that believes that you shouldn't eat meat or you shouldn't eat any foods offered to idols or whatever, in that case, that's not someone who's saying you've got to do this to be born again and they're teaching other people. Instead, this is a believer who's got an overactive conscience. Mm. And in that case, we're to be very, very patient with them. But I think you gave another example, didn't you? People who are slightly legalistic in their sanctification.
Sure.
Well, there Paul is somewhat patient with them, but they need to be open to correction.
Yeah.
In other words, if a person is thinking that, let's say, I have to pray so many hours a day in order to please God.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't have any verse that specifically talks about that, but I would say that the apostles would say, it's fine to pray for hours a day, but you can't set that up as a requirement.
Right. I guess the other example where Paul gets upset at that is the one you mentioned, when that legalism becomes a divisive issue within the church, when it's being used as a way to break fellowship within the church, then Paul gets upset again, and
right.
he rebukes the people for that.
Right.
So it's like you can have patience with the weaker brother, but maybe you can't have patience when legalism is being used to split a church?
Well, Paul says reject the divisive man. Mm. After one or two confrontations, you just withdraw from that person. So yeah, if a person's splitting churches over some sort of extra biblical things he's saying you must do to be sanctified, Paul would not have much patience with that.
Mm-hmm. So if it's a gospel issue or if it's a church dividing issue, then no putting up with the weaker brother. That has to be confronted. Well, Chloe, thanks for that question. Keep on sending your questions. And by the way, if you like this podcast, would you please go to iTunes, look us up, give us a 5-star review, and just write a review. It'll take you probably less than 5 minutes, and that helps us enormously reach more people because it puts us higher up into the search categories and whatnot. So we would really appreciate your endorsement on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever it is that you're listening to us. Give us a rating and write something. When you write something, it does make more of an impact. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you be interested in some free ebooks on subjects like what you hear on the show? Well, if you are, you need to come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On the site, we've got all kinds of free materials, but one of our popular options are our free ebooks on a range of subjects. They're designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of the faith and Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out more about how you can give, go to faithalone.org. Would you like to have a chat with Dr. Bob or Sean? I know that I enjoy it. Let me tell you how to reach out to the team. You can get us on our email address, which is radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On tomorrow's episode of Grace in Focus, we're going to talk about Calvinism and assurance, so join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep Grace in Focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.